The following is a questions and answers session given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari, recorded on October 16th, 2010, in Pune, India.
Shri Guru, Shri Jata Vada Kamala, Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha. Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raghunatandrita Tamsa Jiva Sadaita Avadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Pada Agana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha.
So I was told that today's topic was open topic. So since I have so many questions already left over, might as well just go straight into the question. And if you have any more, as we go along, feel free to pass them on up. Yeah, good. Wind. As you told about the leader keeping some distance with the followers, but we see that His Holiness Vishnu Janamaraj and Jayananda Prabhu were very friendly with everyone and still could lead them. You commonly comment on that. Yes, the leader is very friendly. But still, there was, Vishnujana Swami was treated differently. We would give him the Maha Prasada. The Maha plate would go to him, he would get all the Maha Prasada. So there's some difference. Even though he's very friendly, we would give him that special respect. Of course, in the beginning, we didn't know anything. When I first joined, we didn't know anything about etiquette of Vaishnava culture. We just knew the Swami was very wonderful. But we naturally gave him special respect because he was the one who had made us Krishna conscious. So the leader being friendly to the leader does, he is the most friendly person. At the same time, he creates an atmosphere of formality there for the benefit of the students. So that you understand this person is in a higher position than me, he has higher knowledge than me. That's spiritual master does that. At the same time that he's very friendly and warm and loving and kind, the most friendly, warm, loving, kind person you could ever expect to meet, he still presents himself in the position of the spiritual master and expects you to take the position of the servant. So that's important. You have to see the spiritual master as the supreme personality of servitor Godhead. Now with Vishnujana and Jayananda, we were all God brothers. That's a difference, you see. It wasn't that they were our spiritual master. We were all God brothers together. So there's a difference. can't say it's the same thing, because we're all, the example is we were all God brothers together. But the spiritual master, he definitely, Prabhupada showed definitely that he wasn't, we weren't buddies with him. I mean, one time the Prabhupada arrived in one country, and one God brother was there in the car with him. He said, "Prabhupada, how was it?" And he had just come from another country. "How was it in that country?" Just like you would say, ask some friend, you know. And what was Prabhupada's answer? Nothing. Cold silence. And the devotee said, "What are you doing, Prabhu? You shouldn't be talking to Prabhupada like that." And the devotee felt a little embarrassed. You know, here I was being overly familiar with Srila Prabhupada. So, but at the same time, the spiritual master will reach out and treat you in a very friendly way. Like that happened with me one time. Because I had sent my Guru Dakshini in after my initiation through my letter. Then Prabhupada wrote me back. He said, he wrote a whole letter. Now, you're always doubtful because, you know, there'd be secretaries and they'd type a letter. And you think, well, maybe the secretary wrote the letter and Prabhupada just signed it. There'd be a little doubt in your mind, you know. Did Prabhupada really say this, or the secretary said it and Prabhupada just signed it? You know, you have the doubt, naturally. What's going on there? I don't know. You get the letter, it's typed out by a secretary and signed by Prabhupada. But in this one letter I got, I knew it was Prabhupada's words, because then when, after he signed it, in the same pen he wrote a P.S. with his own ink. He signed A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami and then P.S. And I went, wow, I'm really getting mercy now. I'm getting a P.S. from Prabhupada. He said, "P.S., we are going to Nairobi on Friday night." And I went, wow, you know, this is amazing. Because, you know, you join the movement, Prabhupada, the commanding general of the big, the ISKCON army, and you're just a rank and file soldier out there, and it's, "Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, Jagat Guru, yes, sir, yes, sir." You know what I mean? But now, it's a different Russ. P.S., we're going down a rope. And that's the Father and the Son. You see? Now, Prabhupada is showing me, not only am I your guru, but I'm also your father. I'm your loving, affectionate father. And you are my affectionate son. Therefore, I'm letting you know that we're going to Nairobi on Friday night. See, normally, if you're working in some corporation, you know, you're not going to get a memo from the CEO, you know, what he's up to this weekend. You know what I mean? That's his personal business. But your father, he will say, "Well, you know, we're going to Vrindavan this next weekend." Little note from me. "Guess what, son? We're going to Vrindavan next weekend." You see, it's this affectionate relationship. So, at the same time, the spiritual master will not be buddy-buddy and not allow you to be buddy-buddy with him, like that time when my godbrother said, "Prabhupada, how was it in the previous country?" At the same time, he'll reach out and give you that affectionate warmth. You see. So that's an important distinction. Okay. How do we remain enthusiastic about doing our devotional activities? I've answered this question 1,000 times. My secret is Prabhupada ordered me to be enthusiastic. I mean, for me, it's a very simple thing. I keep my enthusiasm. Actually, I'm starting to get over it now, but I had a bad earache ever since Friday night when they yelled Hari Bol too loud for my poor ears. Yeah, but in spite of feeling very, you know, pressed down by this pain in my ear, I kept my enthusiasm. I still gave fired up lectures, fired up kirtans, you see, in spite of being pushed down by this pain in my ear. So, of course, by God's grace, it's starting to feel a little better now. But the point is, there's always going to be ups and downs in material life. As long as we have material, or even in spiritual life, as long as we have material bodies, there's always going to be ups and downs. So if you remember the order of the spiritual master, that you should always be enthusiastic in all circumstances. As Prabhupada told me, "You are a very sincere and enthusiastic boy. Now continue enthusiastically as you are doing, and surely Krishna will bless you If we remember that wonderful order from Prabhupada, which not only applies to me, it also applies to each and every one of you. If you maintain your enthusiasm in all circumstances, Krishna will bless you. You may feel great, you may feel rotten, it doesn't matter. Keep your enthusiasm. And that will elevate you above the dualities of material existence. Is there any of us who are beyond the dualities? No, we feel the dualities every day. Sometimes we're elated, sometimes we're depressed. It's a natural thing. Before you get off the plane of the three modes into pure Shuddha-sattva, there's going to be the ups and downs. It's a natural thing. So you just got to think, Srila Prabhupada has ordered me to always be enthusiastic, no matter what. And if you do that, you're going to be in bliss. So the key is, remember, that is the order of Srila Prabhupada, not only to me, but to everybody. Always be enthusiastic and Krishna will bless you. Okay. Should the Brahmin devotees of Krishna consciousness movement influence public policy? Influence it. They should lead it. They should be in charge of it. Not only influence it, they should be in charge of it. The leaders, the political leaders, should become disciples of the ISKCON gurus, actually. Not only they should influence, they should tell the leaders how to run the country. Can we remain unattached and oblivious to what is going on around us? Of course not. What are you, a Mayavadi? If you're not agitated by seeing the material society going around, you're just a damn Mayavadi. Sorry. You have to be disturbed. If you're not disturbed to see the slaughterhouses and the abortion clinics and the crook, it's good to be bad movie being promoted in Pune now. If you're not disturbed by this, where is your Krishna consciousness? Where is your compassion? You have to be disturbed by these things. Otherwise, you're not even a devotee. Actually, we should have a policy. Unless you're agitated by the material world, you shouldn't be allowed to get initiated. We are revolutionaries. We are soldiers. If you think there's nothing going on bad in the material world, you're not qualified to be a soldier in Lord Chaitanya's army. Sorry. Okay. Next question. How to chant very, very attentive in prayerful service mood? Well, it's easy. You just have to beg Krishna, my dear Lord, for millions of lifetimes, my mind has been a mischievous monkey, completely absorbed in sense gratification. Now, my dear Lord, I'm begging you, please help me become 100% absorbed in thinking of you. Beg Krishna to help you. And what is the best prayer to beg Krishna to help you? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I better keep these handy. Okay. All right, please guide me. I have so many anartas, how to give it up and remain a humble Vaishnava. Well, this is why guru is important. You see, the first stage is faith, then there is sadhu sangha, then there is bhajana kriya, getting initiated, and then comes anarta nivritti. If you want to get free of your anartas, you have to surrender to a bona fide spiritual master and take his instructions as your life and soul. That will automatically free you of your anartas. You obey your spiritual master. Okay, despite hearing repeatedly, when we find that we are unable to develop a higher taste, and rather the mind keeps going back to the sense objects, what should we do? Well, you got to beat that mind into submission. What does Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur say? In the morning, you beat that mind 100 times with shoes. And in the evening, what do you use? Broomstick. That's right. You beat that mind in submission, you damn rascal. Just like in Vrindavan, we have seen the monkeys. They will steal your glasses. I saw the other day. Actually, on my thought for the day, I took a picture of a monkey. I'm one of my aspiring disciples. His father was with us. The monkey stole his glasses. And I got a picture of the monkey sitting up there with the glasses. You see? So the monkey mind steals away your transcendental vision, you see. If you allow the monkey to do his nonsense, he will steal your vision, just like the monkeys in Vrindavan steal the glasses. So you have to carry the stick of transcendental knowledge. The monkeys are afraid of the sticks, you see. You have to have the stick of transcendental knowledge, and every time that monkey, you have to keep that monkey at bay by the stick of transcendental knowledge. In other words, use with your intelligence, which is empowered by transcendental Vedic knowledge, you can keep that monkey mind from stealing away your vision. The key is know the philosophy and always see things in terms of the philosophy, not your mental speculation. Analyze everything through the eyes of transcendental knowledge. That's the key. Okay. How to improve our chanting? I tried mechanically to concentrate on chanting, but mind goes wandering. That's why, because you're doing it mechanically, Prabhu. Chanting is love. You express the expression of love for Krishna. It also is expression of calling out for Krishna as a helpless child. It's not a mechanical thing, like a machine. If it's a mechanical thing, you can program it into your computer and just let your computer chant all day. You see? But it's not. It's your own heart. You have to attract Krishna by you're calling out to him with love. You see, Krishna is there. He can hear the quality of your chanting. Are you chanting in such a way that Krishna is pleased? People say, well, I'm not relishing the chanting. What am I doing wrong? Then what you're doing wrong is you're trying to relish the chanting. You should chant in such a way that Krishna relishes your chanting. You're chanting to please Krishna. Why are you trying to please yourself? You're still being an egotist if you do this. Instead of trying to please yourself, try to please Krishna. And then when you please Krishna, guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to get unlimited nectar. As soon as you can please Krishna by your chanting, you will taste unlimited nectar in every syllable of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Any more questions? Pass them on up. I'm running low here. Okay. I observe most of the classes where the speaker is mostly speaking of philosophy and material worldly examples, but very less they speak about Krishna and his pastimes. Hence it is not nourishing our heart. What? This is sahaja. I have to hear Leela Katha. I'm sorry, that any topic which is describing the pastimes of Krishna or the technique of how to connect with Krishna is on the transcendental platform. If you think that hearing that the philosophy of Krishna is not nourishing your heart, you're an idiot. You don't understand this philosophy. You're really an idiot. Whoever wrote this is an idiot. They don't understand that the... You think Arjuna was not nourished by the Bhagavad Gita? I mean, this is practically blasphemy. I don't want to discourage the devotee who wrote the note. I'm just making a point now to help. This is spoken out of love. I want to help this devotee to understand. This is completely wrong understanding. To think that to speak the philosophy is not nourishing the heart. This is sahajism. Sahajism. There was a time in ISKCON when the devotees being influenced by Prabhupada's godbrothers thought, well, we just want to hear about Radha Krishna Leela, the Sakis, and this and that, you see. So we will go, we like Tulsi worship because in Tulsi worship we're praying that we can become a Saki, you see. Isn't it? We're praying to become sakis every morning in Tulsi. But Mangalarti, worshipping the Guru, I mean. They would skip Mangalarti and go to Tulsi worship. You see. And then we'd get together in the Los Angeles community and talk about the intimate pastimes of Krishna and the gopis. And Prabhupada said, this will spoil our movement. He disbanded this group. Prabhupada was furious. And I see that this tendency is still it's still lurking around ISKCON, sneaking around, influencing devotees. I see. That I just want to hear about Radha Krishna. I don't want to hear about Bhagavad Gita. This is very dangerous philosophy. It will spoil this Krishna consciousness movement. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati gave a lecture in Braj Mandal. He was giving a series of lectures, and every day, what was it, Vedanta Sutra? All he did was talk philosophy. And the Radhakunda Babaji's became very disturbed. Where is the Leela? And he was just talking philosophy. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. So if you think that philosophy is not nourishing you, you have to hear Leela Katha, then you don't understand what was the whole point of Bhagavad Gita. I mean, you think Arjuna was not nourished? I mean, this is insane. This is absolutely insane question. This devotee doesn't understand the philosophy. He thinks that Arjuna was not nourished by Bhagavad Gita and that he will not be nourished by hearing the Bhagavad Gita. You see, this person is very wrong. But I offer all respect. I know he's sincere. That's why he asked the question. I don't want to make him feel bad. I want to thank this devotee for bringing this question out because it's an important point that needs to be discussed for everyone's benefit. So I'd appreciate this devotee has asked this. I don't want him to feel bad. I'm just making a strong point for the benefit of all of us here. I want to glorify this devotee and thank him very much for asking this question. So, then the philosophy of Krishna as presented by Krishna himself to Arjuna, is that not Leela? Is Bhagavad Gita not a pastime of Krishna? That is also a Leela. Just as Rasa Leela is Leela, Bhagavad Gita is a Leela of Krishna also. To speak Bhagavad Gita, that is Leela. So by discussing this philosophy, that is also Leela Katha. So don't think that we have to just, I want to hear about Krishna in the bushes kissing Radharani, you know, giving her a big hug and kissing her. Yeah, that's what I want to hear because it enlivens me. A big kiss. Yeah. No. In other words, I just want Raganuga Bhakti. I don't want Vaidhi Bhakti. Don't give me this Vaidhi Bhakti stuff. Just give me Raganuka. Well, guess what? If you try to skip over Vaidhi and go to Raganuga, guess what kind of Raganuga you're going to get? You're going to get a shadow of Raganuga. You're not going to get real Raganuga. If you want the real Raganuga, if you want to actually go through the window and find yourself in the middle of Vrindavan, in the middle of Krishna's pastimes, then you have to follow Vaidhi Bhakti. You have to become a master of Vaidhi Bhakti. And when you do, Krishna will open the door. You can chant Hare Krishna and actually enter into the Leela of Krishna just as Vivamangala Karkurik would do. Living 700 years of Vrindavan, sitting here in the material world, he was entering the spiritual sky into the pastimes of Krishna while he was doing his bhajan in Vrindavan. But you have to be a master of Vaidhi to get that kind of entrance. You want access to the Leela, you become a master of Vaidhi Bhakti. And you will get access. You'll be able to live in the pastimes of Krishna and the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya simultaneously. You become a master of Vaidhi Bhakti. Okay. You told that we should be enthusiastic always, but how to be enthusiastic when we are down? Because it has not come from the heart. I'll give you this, one of my favorite pastimes of Prabhupada in this connection. My godbrother Gargamuni Prabhu. This is the early days. If you can imagine a movement which just consisted of a little tiny storefront, and that was the whole movement. A small handful of hippies Many of them with their long hair and their girlfriends. And that was the whole ISKCON. So it was the very, very early days. And so Swamiji, as he was known then, would come down on Wednesday nights from his apartment. If you go to, there's a little, in 22nd Avenue, there's a little courtyard behind, you go out a side door in the little storefront. To the back, there's a courtyard. You cross the courtyard, and there's a little, you go in, inside the apartment building. The second floor, Prabhupada had an apartment. Or Swamiji, as he was known then. So on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday nights, Swamiji would come down the stairs, across the courtyard, come into the storefront, and give a lecture. So, one evening in the question and answers, Yagamuni asked, he said, Swamiji, when you enter the room, everyone bows down, but I do not bow down because it doesn't feel natural for me. He says, is that all right, Swamiji? Prabhupada said, you must bow down because by doing so, then the natural feeling will come. So, he did it. He said, well, Swamiji ordered me to bow down. All right, I do on Swamiji's order. And the feeling came. So, if you don't feel enthusiastic, I don't feel like doing this. No, do it anyway. And the feeling will come. That's the point. Okay, can you kindly recall some of your interactions with Vishnu Jama Swami and Jayananda Prabhu? Well, I had many, many interactions with His Holiness Vishnu Jana Swami. He made me a devotee, I mean. I was interviewed for Vyasagi's book, actually, about my pastimes with Vishnu Jana Swami. Because I have many, many of them. And what would be them? He was quite amazing how far he would go to attract somebody to Krishna consciousness. I'll give you an example. There was a popular rock band in America, very popular with the countercultural. It was like the leading rock band for the hippie movement. It was called the Jefferson Airplane. And Vishnu Jan Maharaj used to play with them before he became a devotee. He knew them all very well. He was buddies with them, and they used to play music together. So one of them had spent his summer in some Christian monastery up in the mountains in California. And he had picked up a Christian hymn called The Good Shepherd. And he sang that song and thought it was pretty neat. And the Jefferson Airplane recorded that on an album. And it was actually a song, philosophically it's not all, not every line is correct, but the mood of it was actually very sweet. Because the person in this, the person singing, he's singing to Lord Jesus, who Prabhupada said he's a pure devotee, you see. He's begging for the mercy of Jesus. And it's like something like this. If you want to get to heaven, over on the other shore, stay out of the way of the long-tongued liar. O good shepherd, feed my sheep. One for Paul, one for Silas, one for to make my heart rejoice. Can't you hear my lambs a-calling? O good shepherd, feed my sheep. In other words, it's an allegory. The singer is presenting himself as someone who is needing, he's like a lamb. I'm a little lamb and I need your mercy. So it's calling out for the mercy of Lord Jesus, actually. It's a beautiful devotional sentiment, although the, you know, the technical aspects are a little bit wrong according to our understanding. But the mood was actually very nice, you see. So one night I was coming back from a preaching program, and somehow it was just me and Vishnu Jana Swami. We were riding in one jeep up the interstate highway. The sun was setting in the west of the Texas Hill Country. Just the two of us. It was like a classic scene from a movie, you know. And it came up in the conversation that I really like this song. And he knew the Jefferson Airplane. He knew the person who had introduced that, who had brought that song down from the monastery. So what Vishnujan Swami did, which is amazing, we sang a duet. We sang it together. We were going on the freeway. He sang it with me. We sang it together with great feeling. If you want to get to heaven, just see, I mean, what devotee would do something like that? Well, that's not bona fide, Prabhu. You can't preach like that. You're supposed to preach Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. What are you doing singing a Christian hymn with a hippie? But he did those kind of things, you see. It made him very special. He wasn't by the book. He was by the heart. He was by the book. He didn't violate the books, you see. But he had a realization. He wasn't just literally, well, where in the Prabhupada's books does it say you can sing a Christian hymn with a hippie? He had this realization of this feeling of Prabhupada's greatness and Prabhupada's mission. Actually, Prabhupada said he was a South Indian Brahmin in his previous life. He was a very advanced devotee from a previous life who Krishna sent to help Prabhupada establish his movement, you see. So, when he sang that song with me, that was it. I was completely captured. I was completely captured because I worshipped these rock bands of the day. You see, they were our spiritual leaders. You see, of our countercultural movement, and I could see that the devotees were better spiritual leaders. And I was convinced that Prabhupada was the real spiritual leader of the countercultural revolution to bring peace and happiness to the world. So anyway, that's one little pastime of Vishnujan Swami. Now Jayananda, I didn't get much association, but a little bit. But the one little association I had with Jayananda was very, very significant. Because it was by his mercy that I got my first darshan of Srila Prabhupada. So I'm very indebted to Sriman Jayananda Thakur for his wonderful mercy. Of course, everyone knows he was the one who organized all the Rathiatras. He worked very hard to build the carts. I mean, he was unstoppable. He can engage anybody in doing devotional service, even a drunkard off the street. He can engage that person doing both devotional service. His enthusiasm for devotional service was contagious. You get close to Jayananda, you're just swept into bhakti. It was amazing. So anyway, it was the Ratha Yatra, the big San Francisco Ratha Yatra, where Ratha Yatra all began in our movement. This was 1971. And they had gotten one lot where they put together all the carts near the parade site in Golden Gate Park. And I was at the temple. There was about 300 or 400 of us there at the temple for the festival, from all over the U.S. And they said, does anybody want it? We need some volunteers to help get the cart ready for the festival. So I raised my hand, and they got in the van and went up to the parade site, the cart site. And we were getting the carts ready to move over to the parade site. So, as soon as I got there, someone said, oh, Prabhupada's arriving at the airport. We're leaving right now in the van to go to the airport. I was going, oh my, I came up here to help Jayananda. I've never seen Srila Prabhupada. And now there's a van going right now. Just imagine if there was a van out here saying, we're going to meet Prabhupada right now. Would you want to be in that van? Would you want to be in that van? Of course. No? You would? I wanted to be in that van to go to the airport to see Prabhupada. Oh, I'd never seen him, and I'd already accepted him in my heart as my guru for many, many months by Vishnujan Maharaj's association. And now I wanted to see him, but I just volunteered to do work at the parade site, and I just wasn't ready for service and separation yet. I wanted to see my spiritual master. What to do? Oh no, I volunteered at Jayananda. What to do? So I just asked Jayananda, I said, Jayananda Prabhu, I just humbly asked him, I said, I've never seen Prabhupada ever before. Can I go to the airport? So he looked around to see how many helpers. He said, yeah, go ahead. So by his mercy, I hopped in that van, I went to the airport and I saw Prabhupada for the first time. So I'm eternally indebted to Jayananda Thakur. Srila Jayananda Thakur for so kindly blessing me my first darshan of Srila Prabhupada. Okay. If a devotee has interest and ability in a particular kind of seva, for example, kirtan, that is getting some other service from authority, year after year, then what should he do? You didn't know that everything is kirtan? The authorities are engaging us in nothing but kirtan. This is a kirtan movement. Whether you're sweeping the floor, cleaning the toilet, offering an aarti, doing the accounting work, whatever service you're doing, it is kirtan. So you have to learn how to turn everything into kirtan. And then you will always be enlivened in kirtan. How to understand that the Lord is happy with us? Bhakti pareshanu bhavaraktiranyatra chaisa tarka ekakalaha prapanyamanashriyatasnadashushtushtipushtucharvajonagasam. Bhakti, direct experience of the Lord, and detachment from material sense gratification occur simultaneously in the heart of someone who is making Krishna happy. Just as nourishment, satisfaction of the tongue, and eradication of hunger occur increasingly with each bite from one who is engaged in the process known as eating. So, do you all eat? Does anybody here not eat? You all eat, don't you? All right. So you know what it's like when your belly gets filled up, isn't it? First, yes. Second, okay. Third, well, maybe. Fourth, no way. You see. Everyone knows when your belly is getting filled up. How do you know? Because you can feel it. I'm getting full. So how do you know when Krishna is happy? Bhagavatam says you will feel love for Krishna. You will experience Krishna within everything. And you will be detached from material sense enjoyment. So that's how you know when you're pleasing Krishna. When you look at the deities and your heart melts in ecstasy, then you know you're pleasing Krishna. When you hear the holy name and your heart melts in ecstasy, you know that you're pleasing Krishna. You see. When you think of the pastimes of Krishna, your heart melts in ecstasy. When you feel this love for Krishna and his pastimes, his quality, his name, fame, form, pastimes, entourage, paraphernalia, dham, and teachings, when you feel a love for these things, then you know that Krishna is happy. Okay. Krishna descends down to the earth to attract devotees, but then if one is not a pure devotee, then there are some bewildering pastimes of Krishna which confuses the general public, like Krishna has to pass by the hit of an arrow. Do you know that Krishna was not hit by the, was not, that arrow did not penetrate his foot? Yeah. Has anybody ever been killed by being shot in the foot by an arrow? In the chest? Sure. In the head? Sure. But the foot? Krishna couldn't be, even an ordinary man would not be killed by, even if the arrow pierced his foot and this arrow just bounced off his foot. Didn't even break the skin. But Krishna wasn't killed by it. Krishna wasn't killed. He just said, now's my time to go back to the Goloka. That's all. He took as a signal, well, look, the arrow just bounced off my foot. Time to go back to Goloka. Why Krishna has to bleed when Bhishma's arrows hit him? Krishna, this is a special pastime. Of course, Krishna, he doesn't have, if he bleeds, it's simply his ecstasy. Krishna cannot be wounded. What does Sirshapana said? Without veins, Krishna is not obliged to shed blood, but if he does so, it is simply his loving ecstasy. The rasa that he has with Bhishma, that is a rasa of chivalry. So, It is a loving, if Krishna is bleeding from Bhishma's arrows, that is a loving exchange that he's having with Bhishma there. That's all. Many devotees, many or rather demons merge with Krishna after they are killed. But I have not read yet of anybody going back to the spiritual world. No, some of the demons do. It's like Putana, she became Krishna's mother in the spiritual world. So demons sometimes get personal liberation. I'm asking this firstly to convince myself and another for preaching. So, yeah, the demons generally get, who are killed by Krishna, generally get impersonal liberation. Sometimes they get personal liberation also. That's up to Krishna. You can give them personal liberation too. How to become Chanadapisanichena? Because without humility we cannot progress in our Krishna consciousness. Please guide me. The way to develop humility is just try to please the devotees. Always try to please the devotees. For preaching Krishna consciousness, we need to meet people, interact with them. Doing this is difficult for people who are introverted nature, who feel good in being in few people. How to overcome this deficiency, get the courage and confidence to happily interact with people. Don't you realize they are suffering? Don't you realize they are going down to the animal kingdom? Why are you so selfish? You're thinking about satisfying your own nature. Why don't you be a little more compassionate and think about their benefit, you see? That's the answer. This is selfish. My introverted nature. It's, you know, it's beyond my comfort zone to reach out and communicate with people. So that means you're selfish. You're thinking of your own happiness. You're not thinking of saving them. If you, all you have to do to overcome this introverted nature is be compassionate. That's all you have to do. Stop being so selfish and become compassionate. Okay, senior devotees, counselors, out of their love, affection, humility, behave very friendly, intimately, because which we may tend to take their instructions casually, and we may not respect them properly. What precautions can we have to prevent us such behavior? Okay. I always remember Vishnujana Swami's instruction. It's a very nice, you may have gotten it from Prabhupada, but it's really a good one. He said, casual means casualty. We just remember this wonderful instruction from Vishnujana Swami. And casual means casualty. And don't get too casual. You know. Keep that awe and reverence. Always keep that, just like in our deity worship, you see. You can't be casual with the deities. Hey, Krishna, how's it doing today? Not like that. Like, I'm your cowherd boyfriend, you know, jump on the altar, put my arm around him. Hey, Krishna, how's it doing? How's Radharani doing? You see, that's being casual with the deities. We wouldn't dream of doing that. But the sahajas, they want to do such things. They want to go on the altar and kiss Krishna, you see. Or kiss Radharani. This is sahajas. So we have to maintain that awe and reverence. That I'm your servant. Therefore, we use the title Prabhu. And there, we also say Manajis for the ladies, but that is, they are also Prabhus. My father is my Prabhu, my mother is also my Prabhu. So we have to remember, I have all these Prabhus, the Manajis, the men devotees, these are my Prabhus. I have to serve them very nicely, you see. In this way, we will not be, we'll avoid the familiarity that breeds contempt. I have seen
some demigod or other in the altar of various senior devotees. How is this? Well, actually, as a concession, especially in India, where people in some family have been worshiping a demigod for generations, we may sometimes give a concession to our disciples, householders, that yeah, you can keep that demigod there, but put them on a lower level and give them the prasadam of Krishna. See, we may give a concession like that. That we can do. The spiritual master may, because it's, you know, they're very attached to that idea. Prabhupada even told one disciple that you could, on Christmas Day, you could offer prasadam to a photograph of Lord Jesus. Prabhupada said that in one letter. So, those are concessions for people who are attached. But my question is, how this person couldn't be that senior if they're attached to keeping a demigod in their altar. Although they may have a concession to do so from their spiritual master because they're over their attachment. But that's not a very senior devotee. What did Srila Prabhupada used to pray generally to the deities? Well, how do we know? Sometimes he did tell us one time. There was a whole heavy scene in ISKCON back in around 1970. It was the contamination coming in from Prabhupada's Gadra. There's a Gaudiya Math. They were minimizing Prabhupada, poisoning the disciples. It's still happening. The Gaudiya Math is still doing that kind of nonsense with our movement, trying to infiltrate and, you know, take away our allegiance to Prabhupada's instructions. Try to steal ISKCON. It was happening then, it's happening now. The same tendency is there in the Gaudiya Math. Devotees try to minimize ISKCON, try to take ISKCON, usurp ISKCON. So anyway, that was going on back in the 70s, and Prabhupada noticed little different signs were going on, and he was very disturbed by it. He called all the leaders. There was no GBC at that time. He called many leading devotees from all over the world in Los Angeles. He formed the GBC. But actually, he was so disturbed by the atmosphere. He told Tamal Krishnamurti, he said, "Get me out of here." He was so disturbed. He said, "Where, Prabhupada, where should I take you? How about Florida?" Prabhupada said, "It's not far enough." And that's like 3,000 miles. So that's when Prabhupada ended up coming to India, actually. He formed the GBC and then he came to India and began the preaching in India. Because there was a whole mood of minimizing Prabhupada. And Prabhupada could understand this contamination in his society, and he was very disturbed by it. So at that time, he revealed to us that he prayed to Rukmini Dwarkadish in Los Angeles, that, "My dear Lord, why are you kicking me away? Why are you sending me away? I do not understand." He prayed to the deities. He couldn't understand why he was being sent away. He had started this movement in America, and now he felt that Krishna was sending him away. Get out. He didn't know. But then all these huge projects came up. Mayapur, Vrindavan, Bombay, and Prabhupada knew. It was an arrangement of Krishna. That our movement could enter a whole other arena here in India, you see. So that's one time when Prabhupada did reveal what he had prayed. But generally, we wouldn't know what Prabhupada was praying. Well, please enlighten on how to develop respect in our heart for devotees, as this is the dearmost, this is the most something because it is due to conditioning. This is the most valuable treasure. Well, you have to understand, I know one time, just imagine if you were alone, there was no devotees at all, you see. One time, when I was, many years ago, I was doing some business.
to support our preaching center. I was doing a travel business. And I was selling travel products to the public. And one thing I was going to try to do was sell Christian tours to the Holy Land. This is before all the terrorism started happening. So I went on a familiarization trip. I actually went with all these Christian travel agents to tour the Holy Lands. And it was a little enlivening to see where Jesus had different pastimes. But it was beyond that, it was really horrible to be with all these Christians for a whole week, you know. But then I found some devotees, and they're in Jerusalem. I called them up on the phone. I went and visited them. And it was the most amazing experience after being with all these Christians, trapped with a whole bus full of Christians, you know, for a whole week, to be able to spend an hour or two with some devotees. Wow. I was so enlivened, you know. It didn't matter who they were. I'd never known them before, but they were ISKCON devotees, Prabhupada's followers, and I felt so enlivened and empowered by their association. So we have to realize, because we're living with each other, we're constantly with each other, we forget how valuable the devotees are. But I guarantee you, if you had to go, you know, if you got arrested, you spent a few days in jail or something like that, and you came back to the temple, as soon as you saw a devotee, you go, wow, a devotee! I'm so fortunate, I can see a devotee again! You see, we take devotees for granted. We should not do that. We should understand that even to see one follower of Prabhupada is the greatest blessing. It's the greatest purification of my eyes and my heart to have the darshan of any follower of Prabhupada in this way. How am I develop love for my spiritual master? You don't love him? Don't you see how much love he's giving you? He's willing to take the responsibility to take you out of this material world. He's willing to take all of your karma. Don't you feel any love for a person who's risking his own? He's taking the risk of going to hell just to save you. You don't feel any love for that person? You just have to understand what your spiritual master has done for you. And then naturally you'll love him. How to be always... Well, actually our time is up. I'll save these for tonight. Next session. Our time has run out. So we thank you all very much for your participation in this Krishna Consciousness movement. And please make it a very serious business. That my only duty in life now is to become the pure devotee of Krishna under the guidance of Guru, Sadhus, and Shastra. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.